Is that is what it is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Welcome along to some football chat and more with the legend that is, of course, Carlton Palmer, who joins us right now. Hi, Carlton.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
What's happening in the world of Carlton Palmer over in China?
Well, not much. Just back to work today. Had the weekend off. There was the Grand Prix. I didn't go because these days, you know, the Grand Prix now is basically who's got the best car. You know, for me, you know, you start watching it and you're waiting for the pit stop before anything might happen. Whereas if they all had the same car, then you find out who the best driver is. But, you know, like yesterday, Lewis Hamilton's in fifth place. He's got no chance of catching the people above him because the car's not quick enough.
Yeah, exactly. It's my problem. I used to love watching Formula One. I used to get right into it. But in this last sort of 10 years, it's just like a procession. It just seems boring now.
Well, it is. It just is. And so we were invited to go. But, I mean, what's the point? You know that whoever's on the grid, where they are, the fastest cars are, the people behind them can't catch them. So I don't understand why they don't just make it a level playing field and everybody has the same car. Let's see who the best driver is.
Yeah, that would be a sport then, I think, really. But at the moment, it's not.
No, it's not. But that's a lot of things now, including football, with the way money's involved in the game. You'll never get a Burnley winning the Premier League because they can't compete with the likes of Man United and Chelsea and Man City for the amount of money they can spend on players. That's as simple as it is. And go all the way through the leagues. You know, you go Championship, you go down. You know, it's rule of thumb. It's your budget.
It is. But then again, only it wasn't that long ago that Leicester did it. And I suppose it was just a freak when they did it, wasn't it?
That was a freak. That was a freak. I mean, you know, and I'm not knocking Leicester City or anything by any stretch of the imagination. That was, you know, a fantastic achievement. I doubt if we'll see that again for many a moon, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. In fact, let's start with the champions, shall we? Manchester City confirmed champions yesterday after one of your old teams, West Brom, beat Manchester United. We'll come up to that game in a minute. But Man City, they've been the best team this season. Some people are saying they're the best team in Europe at the moment. Not so on the Champions League side of things. With what he's doing there, Pep Guardiola, could they dominate the Premier League now for a few years?
Well, I mean, they've got the money, haven't they? I mean, it's like I saw an article that Stan Collymore wrote the other day, and he said, you know, if you buy a Ferrari Testarossa, you expect to go quicker than a Ford Fiesta. That's as simple as it is. And I'm not knocking Pep. I think he's the way he's getting the likes of Raheem Sterling to play. I think his understanding of the game has become so, I mean, he's got, 16 or 17 Premier League goals, yeah. 22 in all competitions. His understanding of the game, where to run, his time of his runs. Like Pep said, if he can add finishing to his game, he goes on the, he escalates himself to the level of maybe Ronaldo, maybe Messi. Now, that is down to good coaching, but you have to say that they've been able to buy the best players, some of them, two for every positions. And I would have liked them to see this season them. They've certainly got a very, very good side. They certainly play entertaining football. He's certainly a very good coach, although he's got, you know, plenty of money to spend. And it's a magnificent achievement by the football club.
Yeah, certainly is. I'm interested as well because Chelsea are so many points behind, something like 27 points behind Manchester City this season. And you think Chelsea champions last year. And I'm wondering, is that just sort of what's going to happen now in the Premier League? Is you're going to get a team that wins it and then falls by the wayside the next year? Because Chelsea, I mean, I just cannot fathom what's gone so wrong for someone that was so good last year to nowhere this year.
Yeah, but Chelsea are prone to do that, aren't they? You know, and there's a few, Man United have done that. Man United haven't won since Fergie left, and then they're finishing out the top spots. This is why I keep coming back to Arsenal, the consistency that Arsene Wenger has always shown, I mean, obviously this season they're going to miss out on an automatic Champions League spot, but the consistency, and then people don't look at that in terms of he's not spent the money of these other top clubs, but yet consistently they have still finished in a Champions League spot. When Chelsea or Liverpool or Spurs plummet, they finish outside the top six. Without a shadow of doubt, I think he'll spend again, Abramovich, and put Chelsea in a position to attack the league again next season.
Yeah, I hope so, because, I mean, you look at that. And also, the other thing, we were discussing this earlier, Tottenham. Are Tottenham ever going to... Are they just always going to be also-rans? Are they ever going to actually have a proper crack at actually winning the Premier League?
Well, the problem that you've got is, you know, you've got to remember that Manchester United and Man City are paying huge sums of money. I mean, Sanchez has gone to Manchester United, £300,000 a week. It's a lot of money. You know, Man City, you know, are paying 250s, 300 grand a week. It's a lot of money. And to compete with that, you know, can you bring three, four players in on that type of money without upsetting your squad? It's a difficult one. So it's very hard for the likes of Liverpool, the likes of Spurs, to break that barrier, because they can't go out and spend that type of money. So the only way that can happen is over a period of time, if the manager stays in charge, that they get the young players coming through that, you know, that can perform. The Dele Alli's of this world and the Harry Kane's of this world, you know, you've got to wait for that opportunity. Otherwise, you've got to go and spend big, and spend big on wages. That's how you get the top players.
One of your old teams did City a favour yesterday, West Brom. But it is too little too late for them, though. But, you know, a great performance by them.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, here we go now. This is what I'm saying now, right? Darren Moore, done all his coaching badges. They're going to put him, they've put him in charge to the end of the season. Now, we have all this talk about the Rooney Rule. Let's see it in effect here now. Because if Darren Moore does a good job from now to the end of the season, I mean, I didn't see the game, but I was told by my pals, who are big West Brom supporters, that the spirit seemed to have returned, because Darren's that type of bloke. You know, he wasn't a technically gifted lad, but he was 100% and he was his camaraderie with the team. So I can see him bringing that to the table. And if they get results from now to the end of the season, then that Rooney Rule should come into effect. And they should appoint him. He's an upstanding character. He's done all his coaching badges. So why not? They've put Alan Pardew in charge, who's had job after job after job where he's failed. So why not give somebody a chance, a black guy a chance? You know, they're going to be in the Championship. So why not give him the opportunity rather than bringing in a foreign manager and pay him a lot of money, or bring in another manager that's managed in the Premier League or the Championship and has failed?
Yeah, because you wonder, and this is why I think the FA have brought in this rule, you wonder how, you know, young managers, be they black or white, how they're going to get a chance when clubs just seem to go for those same old names, the same old faces seem to turn up in the jobs.
Yeah, but it's the agents. It's the agents, the clubs in with the agents. You know, you've seen the amount of money that clubs are paying agents these days. And it's the agents, and it's just the same old merry-go-round. And it's got to be broken. It's got the cycle's got to stop, because we have got good, young British coaches that need to be given an opportunity. But I'm talking about this Rooney Rule in particular. I mean, I'm just bringing something up, and I'm not saying that it's true or not, but my daughter's just applied for a job for social work, and she on her application, she's a newly graduate. She's had an interview for the job, and then they rang her up and said, "You've been unsuccessful because you're not experienced." But they knew that before they interviewed her. So was that just a tick box that we've interviewed a black and ethnic minority? Do you know, and these are the questions that come up, right? So when we're in a position, like if Darren Moore does a decent job from now till the end of the season, A, he's going to cost them less money than them bringing in a foreign manager or another manager of any note. Why shouldn't he be given that opportunity? Knows the club. He's been at the club a long time. Done his coaching badges. Fine, upstanding individual. Well liked by the other. Why not give him a chance?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think he should be given a chance. I mean, like you say, bringing in another manager would seem like the wrong thing to do. And given the chance of a big club like West Brom and giving it to a young up and coming black manager, I mean that this is exactly what the FA have been talking about. So I completely agree with you.
But that's why they brought the Rooney Rule in, and I'm dead against it. But if Darren Moore gets the job at West Brom. Right. And let's be honest, he's only had one game. So let's see how he finishes the season at West Brom. But assuming they finish showing the spirit that they're showing at the moment and get a few results and they appoint him, I'll take back everything I've said about the Rooney Rule. I'll take it back. But we'll have to wait and see.
Another manager who's doing a pretty special job at the moment over at Turf Moor is Sean Dyche, Premier League Manager of the Month. For March, and Burnley absolutely flying. They could be in Europe next year, but there'll be a lot of teams that will be looking and trying to get Sean Dyche maybe into a bigger club.
Well, I was, I've got to be honest with you. Sorry, Burnley fans. I was touting him for when Carlos left. I wanted Sheffield Wednesday to go and break the bank to get him. I'm a big admirer of him. He's done a fantastic job at Burnley. I like his approach to the game. He doesn't believe in rotating the players if they've got cup games or whatever. He gets his squad fit. They can compete physically. They can compete technically. I'm a big admirer of Sean Dyche. This is not just what he's doing this season. Before I came to Shanghai, I was talking about him then. So that's 3 or 4 years ago, about the job he does with the players. He's got Ian Wome in there, who was a player who played with me at Forest, who's technically gifted, and it's not just they get the best out of the players they got there. He's a very, very good coach and knows the game. And this is what I'm saying. People like Sean Dyche should be given the opportunity of a big club, should be given the chance. But people always question mark and say, well, he's done it at Burnley. There's no real pressure. That's immaterial. He's done it. And he's not just done it. I mean, he got them promoted. They went back down. The club stuck with him, which they should have done. And he's got them promoted again. He's done a great job with the training ground, the facilities, the infrastructure at the football club. You know, he runs that football club. No director of sport, none of this rubbish. He runs the football club, him directly with the board, and they allow him to do that from his coaching all the way up. And if I was a manager, I mean, like say Sheffield Wednesday, they would have had to break the bank to get him. But I guarantee you, they would have been if they'd done it, they would be in the Premier League next season. They're spending big money on salaries for players, but not matching that with the quality of the manager that they're bringing into the football club.
Yeah, it's a good point, isn't it? And it is, it's a fantastic job that Sean Dyche is doing. And, it just staggers me to think, they've got a big game this week up against Chelsea at home on Thursday night. That'll be a crucial one for them. But Burnley in the Europa League, it gives everybody hope.
Well, of course, Sean's a very hard worker. He's a stand-up guy. He runs the football club, so there's no nonsense. None of the players take any liberties with him in terms of they know firmly where they stand. They know the standards that are set. They've not just against the big sides. They've not just sat in there and just defended well and the goalkeepers played well. They've been in the games against the big sides by taking them on and trying to play football.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic season for them. There's no doubt about that. Not so fantastic. One of your former clubs, Leeds United, losing again at the end of last week up against Villa. But all the talk, Carlton, over this last week is whether or not Paul Heckingbottom will be in the job come the beginning of next season. Only one win since he's taken over at Leeds United. Lots of speculation about Mick McCarthy as well, because he's left Ipswich and he's a big Leeds fan. Lots of fans get asking that should be the next Leeds United manager. Whereabouts are you standing on this?
Well, it was always going to be difficult for him where he came in. I've seen Leeds a lot this season, and the squad's not got the right makeup. There's a lot of the foreign players in the side, and it's not the right makeup to compete in the championships. Not for me. So the problem that Paul's had is those players are there and on long-term contracts. It's very, very difficult. You know, I know he's tried to shuffle the pack. He's tried to move it all about. And I don't know whether what he's like with the chairman, and whether he's turned around to the chairman and said, right, listen, what I need to do from now to the end of the season is see what I've actually got by playing all these different players. Can I clear these players out, and can I bring in these players? So if he's got the chairman's ear, I don't care who was in there now, would have had a problem between now and the end of the season. And I say that for the manager, current manager in at Sheffield Wednesday. He's got a lot of players there that need to be cleared out. So that's difficult as a manager when you come into the football club, because it's a results-based industry. But if you're talking about the long-term strategy, which is to get promotion to the Premier League, then these managers have a look what's available and then go to the chairman and say, right, listen, this is where we need to change. Four or five players, these players need to go. Can we bring these other players in? You know, Mick McCarthy would have a problem with the squad at Leeds United. He would have a problem. He would need to overturn that. But let me tell you, any club that gets Mick McCarthy have done very, very well. I'm a big admirer of Mick and his right-hand man, Terry Connor. They do well everywhere they go. I mean, Mick's done a fantastic job at Ipswich, considering the financial restraints. But everybody has a shelf life. If Mick had more money to spend, he would have got them in a better position to challenge to get promotion. But Mick's not one of those to come out in the public and bleep about the the circumstances he faces. Mick just gets on with the job, and as I say, I'm a big admirer, and any club that gets Mick McCarthy has done well.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. He's a quality manager. So, someone who's also done a fantastic job up at Newcastle, they're safe now. Rafa Benitez. I think there were certainly a few raised eyebrows when he took over up at St James's Park, and certainly while he was in the Championship, he sort of got his head down, and they worked really, really hard, and they've done very, very well up in the North East and in the Premier League this season. And again, under some severe pressure from fans up there, they were quite vociferous, and with an interesting owner that doesn't really seem that interested in keeping the club on.
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, you've got to remember up in Newcastle that they're very passionate about their football, first and foremost. But I don't think Mike Ashley can ever be criticised of not putting his money where his mouth is. I don't think that can ever be labelled at him. And I think part of him running to get rid of the football club now is that people haven't recognised how much he has done for the football club. All you've got to do is look at Rafa's CV. He's a top manager. That's as simple as it is. He's not had the transfer budget that he would have wanted this season, but yet he's kept his mouth shut and he's got on with the job and he's kept them in the division. And fair play to him. As I say, Rafa is a top manager. When you come down from the Premier League, you've got those funds available to him, which were available to Rafa. He bought well, he used the market well, and he got him promoted. And he's done well again, considering the financial restraints he's under, to keep them in the Premier League.
Yeah, he's done exceptionally well, hasn't he? Really, really has done well. Carlton, I just wanted, because the PFA Player of the Year is going to get announced, I think, this coming weekend on Saturday. Voting is all done. But I'm just wondering who your picks for Player of the Year would be this season.
Well, I tell you what, you're hard pressed to go past the boy Salah at Liverpool, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be, you know, I mean, Harry Kane picked up an injury at a bad period, you know, and he missed 3 or 4 weeks. Otherwise, you would have said Harry Kane was a stonewall. But I mean, you've got to look at the boy Sterling. I think he's had a magnificent season at Man City. And you tend to look at the people who win the league or at the top of the league. You look at those clubs and look at the players. So, you know, you'd have to say Sterling would be in with a shout. It'll be interesting. I think the boy Salah might get quite a few votes as well.
Yeah, he's really had just one of those seasons that probably players absolutely dream of. At a big club like Liverpool, he scored nearly a goal a game. For them, he's been on fire, and they've got themselves an absolute little gem there. He sort of, I know he's been around for a few years, but he's not had a season like this ever. It's been quite staggering.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, and he's not just scored, you know, tap-ins. They've been good finishes.
Yeah.
I like him. I like his movement. You know, he you know, as a striker. You know, it's not about luck. It's about making those opportunities by making those runs, knowing what runs to do, run where to run, and making those opportunities and to keep making those runs, believing that the ball will come into those areas. He does that very, very well. And they, you know, I suppose Liverpool haven't had anybody like that since Suarez and then probably Robbie Fowler and Michael Owen. You know, and then you're going back to the great Ian Rush, but he, you know, when I look at players, you look at them and you say, can they produce it again? You know, the likes of Vardy, can you produce it again? You know, maybe a bit unfair on Jamie Vardy because he was playing at Leicester, but he chose to stay at Leicester when he could have gone to a bigger club, which I would have done and tested myself. You know, no disrespect to Leicester, if you're playing with better players, you become a better player and you should automatically score more goals. And he hasn't repeated that feat. He still scores goals and he still scores good goals, but not the volume. So, you know, next season is always the second season. You know, your great goal scorers, your Alan Shearers, your Gary Linekers, your Ian Rushes, repeatedly, your Agüeros, they repeatedly score 25, 30 goals a season.
Yeah, the stats are unbelievable for Salah. He's scored 39 goals in 44 appearances. In the Premier League, he's got 29 goals in 31, which is a ratio of 0.94 goals per game. Only Harry Kane has a better strike rate in a single season, which is 29 from 30 last season. So he's absolutely obliterating the records. I'm wondering now, are we going to see like a Mo Salah saga during the summer as well? They try and keep hold of him, because that just seems to happen with Liverpool. They get a player, they make them
you always worry about that, because the problem that you've got now is that managers are under pressure, and if somebody's as a season like Salah has, they look at it and they think, well, I only need one season out of him like that to win the title, whether it's in Germany or Real Madrid in Spain. You know, you only need one season out of him like that. And so they pay the money for them to do that. And once an agent rings up Salah and says to him, well, listen, we can get you 250, 300K a week, his head's turned then, hasn't it?
Yeah, it'd turn anybody's head, that will, I'll tell you. As ever, Carlton, it's always been a pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us this week, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, thanks very much. You take care.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.